call of the shofar calls us into the presence of the Almighty God, the King of the universe. And after all, have you not heard what He has to say? Have you not heard His voice calling you into His presence? Well, that's what we're going to pursue. My friends, thank you for joining us today as we pursue the face of the Lord.
Welcome back, my friends. We're here again today with Pastor Bruce, and we'd just like to remind you that if you have comments or just want to get in touch with us, find out more about us, contact us at www.shilohmessianic.com and let us know. We've been talking a little bit. In fact, Pastor has a series right now on family relations and the importance of building a strong family. You know, there's so much to that, because if you don't have a strong family and show respect within your family, especially to your parents, no matter what the age is, how can you show respect to your country? How can you show respect to what's important, even to the church? It's so critical that we get these concepts down, and respect and honoring your parents is biblical and something that we really need to step into. Pastor Bruce, you just had a sermon on that very subject. Could you enlighten us a little bit on how important it is and where we need to go?
Sure, Doug. We're doing a series. We're looking at building a strong family, and we're taking as our text the Ten Commandments in
right.
Shemot 20, and that's Exodus 20. And we're looking at each one of the Ten Commandments and then applying that to our families, our immediate families in particular. And how does that play out? What does it look like? How do we embrace it? And how do we use that commandment to our advantage in our families? How do we implement it? And as you mentioned, we're on number 5, which was honor your father and mother.
Right.
That your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. If we go back, we have to build a little bit before we get to that one. But and of course, people go to YouTube and go to our YouTube page and
right.
view all of these teachings. But it starts, the commandment, the Ten Commandments starts in verse 2 with, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. So verse 2 and 3 is the very first commandment. And the very first commandment is you in our families, we in our immediate families, we need to acknowledge that there is a God. He's the God of Israel. And He is the God of the Bible.
Right.
It all starts there. If you don't have that foundation, then the other 9 are basically okay code for living.
Correct.
But you can take it or leave it.
Yes.
Quite honestly.
Yeah, if you don't have the basics, right.
If you don't get the first commandment down, the rest is really for naught.
Yes.
So in our families, we've got to make sure that we bring God into our family life. And this, of course, is not necessarily a popular...
No, it's not.
...issue or a popular way of doing things. Families, they don't want God. They don't want God telling them what they can or cannot do.
Right.
They don't want to be under the authority.
That's scary.
Of God. It is scary. So if the head of house says, no, I don't want to be under authority, what is this? What are the kids going to grow up
exactly.
thinking?
Exactly.
Well, the same thing. So as soon as the kids grow up and they are bigger than dad, they say, I don't want your authority.
Right.
You know, that's what you taught me that. I don't have to yield to the authorities over me.
Right.
So it all starts with that, acknowledging that we have an authority
yes.
over us, that has the final word on all matters, and knowing who that authority is. He's
right.
The God of the Bible, the Jewish God.
Right.
So we start there. Commandment number one.
Yes.
And we have to instill that not only in ourselves, but in our children.
Right.
Because
one day
they're going to grow up, they're going to have their own families, and they need to instill that in their families as well. Otherwise, this thing has a short shelf life.
Yes, it does. You know, I served a little over 20 years in the military,
mm-hmm.
and the benefit of doing that is it really gave you the respect for authority and the understanding of the purpose of authority.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not just being under somebody because you have to be. There's a purpose for it.
Yeah.
And being under the authority of the Father, He's
yeah.
got a purpose for us.
Oh, I personally believe, I was in the military myself, and I learned the same thing.
Right.
So I got drafted in the Vietnam era.
Yes.
And which was a very rebellious era.
Yes, it was.
And I was part of all of that rebellion and
yeah.
chaos. I'm a product of the 60s. And you get to boot camp, you start learning the importance of authority
right.
from the first minute.
Yes, you do.
I remember I went into the Navy, and on our swearing-in day in Los Angeles, just before we got on the bus and went down to recruit depot in boot camp in San
uh-huh.
Diego, they lined us all up and had us count off 1 through 4 all the way down the line. And then they said, all the fours step forward, you're now in the Marine Corps. Well, and everybody there signed up for the Navy.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yes.
But you realize no one said a word, because you realize, no, you're under authority now, and what they say is what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was the first thing that happened after we were sworn in.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So you went, oh, wow, I've got to learn a few things here. We're not voting on this. We're not discussing this. This is not up for negotiation.
You're
this
right.
This is their authority over you. And we have to acknowledge that. I think it would be so beneficial for our country if we did what Israel does, and every 18-year-old goes to 2 years mandatory military service.
Oh, I agree. I fully agree.
I didn't personally like the military, because I didn't like somebody over me all the time.
Right.
But I learned some very valuable life lessons there. You know what I'm saying? So it was, one should go through that experience. So that's the very first commandment. You need to know that the Lord is God.
Yes.
And your family, you and your family are under His authority, under His jurisdiction, and what He says is what He says.
Right.
And that's going to be the foundational premise for your for building your family.
Right.
And if you build on that foundation, you're going to have a great family.
Exactly.
See? So that's the first commandment. The second commandment, then, we find in verse 4, 5, and 6, and this is all about idols. You're not to make for yourself an idol of any kind. Okay? The first one is just acknowledging that God is real.
Yes.
And incorporating Him into your life, putting yourself under His authority. The second one is different, because now it's talking about trying to raise up an idol or something that's higher than He is.
And that's something that's very misunderstood also.
Very much. Anything, Doug, can be an idol.
Right.
Anything. Anything that has a placement in your life that is above God becomes an idol for as long as it's in that
position
above God.
Yes.
If it gets above God for 3 days, you realize it, you catch it, and you bring it back down, now you don't have an idol.
Yep.
But if you get your eyes off of it and it creeps up again, now you have an idol.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what it is. You know, it can be good things. Children can be idols.
Oh, absolutely.
Grandchildren are... They live on borderline.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? You know, I'm being facetious, but I think our listeners know what I'm saying. You know,
right?
Jobs can become idols. Money, houses, spouse,
yeah.
Even things like studying the Word, reading the Bible can become an idol.
Yes, it can.
You know. You can't be stuck in the book all day long and have no relationship with God.
Well, you know, that reminds me of actually it was a Hebraic movie I saw a few years ago. It was about this rabbi who got so involved in his studying of the Word that although he cared about his family was really coming in second.
Yeah.
And it came time that he took his son to a beach to go swimming and was watching over him. And came time for prayer. He went to the prayer and forgot about his son. And unfortunately, his son died.
Oh, boy.
But that just shows where your priorities can be.
Yeah. The Bible is very clear in my opinion, the first three priorities in our life are set in stone,
yes,
by the Word of God. And that is, God is number one, your spouse is number two,
right,
and your family is number three,
right.
And I think that's the same for every single person in the world, unless of course you don't have a spouse and children,
right,
then you go from there right down to number four, if you will,
right.
But only at number four does it start splintering off into different directions of godly priority.
Yes.
For each of us. I think for most individuals, number four needs to be your job. Because if you don't work, you're worse than an infidel.
That's true.
And if you don't feed your family. So for those that are in full-time ministry, then ministry becomes number four. Because ministry is what, in my case, provides for my family.
That's true.
So it's a two-fold, it's a two-edged sword, really.
Right.
It's my occupation, but it's also my ministry, and it holds number four. But then it splinters.
Right.
And it can be changing up from time to time as well, if you think about it.
Oh, absolutely, it can.
Priorities in your life do change.
Yes, they do.
There's times when God says, this is what I want you to focus on. And so that moves right up the ladder. But it never moves into one, two, or three slot.
Right.
See, those are fixed.
Yes.
And so an idol is anything that bumps its way up through the ranks, works its way up somehow, comes into that number two slot, and then somehow jumps up above God to number one in our life.
Right.
And it can be for a moment, from just a short moment. It can be for, you know, days, or it can be a lifetime.
Yeah, it can.
So, no idols. So we have to, in our families, if we're going to have strong families, we've got to get back to this second commandment. And everyone in our family, we can't have any family idols.
Right.
Because family idols are huge issues. Those would be things like family traditions that are counter... productive to the Word.
Right.
We love our family traditions.
And, oh, yes.
And if we find out they're not particularly biblical or they're anti-biblical, now we have a decision to make, don't we?
Yes.
You know, and that decision is a hard one because these are very special things to us. So you can't move anything up. So we can't have family idols. We also can't have individual idols.
Right.
So no member of your family can have an idol. And once somebody brings an idol in, it's going to create havoc in the family.
Yes, it does.
Not just for that individual, but for the entire family. So if we're going to be a cohesive unit that stays together, you know, we have a saying, the family that prays together stays together, but that's only part of the picture.
Right.
You know, the family that doesn't have idols stays together, too. And there's other things.
Absolutely.
So in Exodus 20, we're definitely being instructed by the Word of God to make sure you don't have or allow for any type of an idol in your family structure.
I thought it was very interesting. We had a Torah study. Actually, for us, it was last night.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, by the time this airs, it'll be a while back.
Yeah.
But it pointed out the fact that it was very possible that the reason Rebecca died during childbirth was because she's the one that brought the idol out.
Yeah.
And wanted an idol in her life.
Yeah, and Jacob kind of pronounced a curse unknowingly on her. And I think that was really true. You know, not everything that comes out of our mouth is a curse, even if it's negative.
Right.
But in this case, I think it was very much a curse, and I think it was intended in the original statement to be a curse.
Yeah.
And so it became.
Yes.
You know, which is very kind of sad, obviously.
Right, but it just lets you know how powerful that is.
Well, if you study the Bible, you quickly come to learn Israel went into dispersion several times in its history.
Yes.
It's still currently in dispersion, technically.
Right.
I mean, they've kind of come back to land, but there's more Jews that live outside the land than live in Israel.
Plus, their land is still in dispute.
It's still in dispute. So, why did Israel end up being disciplined and being sent into the dispersion for what sin? It was always for the sin of idolatry.
Yes, always.
It was never for sexual sin. It was never for those other types of sins.
Right.
It was for specifically for idolatry. Not that God is okay with the other sins. He's not.
No, he's not.
And we need to be working on those. But those are different than idolatry. And idolatry carries with it a very heavy consequence.
Yeah, it does.
From God's court. So, no idols in our families. We have to make sure we keep God number one. And for all of our men that are listening, that are our head of household, that it's our job to make sure those idols do not come in. And that can be the video games. It can be
the Saturday football games.
It can be the Saturday games. It can be the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It can be anything. I mean, the Super Bowl is a huge idol, quite honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, on Super Bowl Sunday, church attendance drops, even though the game typically doesn't start out here on the West Coast for us till 3 o'clock or something.
Yeah.
Church is over. But people don't come to church because they want to be getting all the goodies ready.
Oh, yes.
And preparing for the game and all. And I understand all that. But technically speaking, I believe for one day you have an idol there.
Yeah.
And what can an idol accomplish in one day?
Oh, boy.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, I can.
So the entire time that game is up above God, you have an open door to the spirit realm that is honestly quite dangerous.
Yeah, it is. Well, you see, it sows a seed, too, when you think, well, it was okay this time, so next time if something comes up, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's what you're teaching your kids.
And that's what you're teaching your kids.
If you don't, your family tradition is we stay home on Super Bowl Sunday, we watch the game, we don't go to church. You might as well just sit down with your kids and say, you know, church is important, but there's a few things that are more important than church.
Yeah.
You might as well just sit down with them and teach them that. Because that's what you're actually teaching them.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're watching. They go, okay, the big game's coming up. Dad's a huge football fan. His team is in the
right, in the game.
You know, he's got a dog in this fight. And,
right.
You know what I mean? And let's see what he does.
Wow.
Oh, he's staying home. Oh, I see. So the Super Bowl, at least, maybe not football in general, but the Super Bowl is more important than keeping the Sabbath or whatever.
Wow, yes.
See, that's problematic.
That is problematic.
And it's going to bring problems to our family that will do a lot of damage in the long haul. We just have to know that. So
yeah, what people fail to see in that is the overall impact. It's easy to look at it and, well, it's okay, I'll just make it up next week or whatever. They don't even look at the impact they're making on the family and the lessons they're teaching the family.
Well, you're right, and those are the long-term devastating issues.
Right.
Those are the things that eventually tear our family apart, because if you do that enough times and you have enough things in your family life that are more important than God, birthdays.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, we couldn't come to church. We were celebrating the kid's birthday.
Right.
Well, that means the kid's birthday is more important than the Sabbath.
Right.
Or it was their birthday, so we spent all our money, so we don't have money to tithe. Okay. So the child goes away thinking, okay, there are certain things that are allowable to take the tithe.
Wow.
And this is just not true. And once that comes in, it multiplies. So now you don't have just one idol in there. You got a couple, and now a half dozen, now a dozen. Now your family starts coming apart at the seam, because now you're no longer under the authority of God. You're under the authority of an idol.
Yeah, and you know that's very interesting, because a couple weeks ago it was Mother's Day, and our family had a Mother's Day celebration, and it happened to be on Shabbat, on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we went to service on Friday night to make sure that there wasn't an interference there. But it was funny, our granddaughter, who was kind of sponsoring it, asked us, well, you didn't go to church because of this? And we had to tell her, actually, we did.
Yeah.
We had to make sure that we did before, and that made an impact on her.
Yeah, that's a statement.
It's a statement.
You're putting your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
You're saying it's important. Well, show me.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord said. He said, don't tell me how much you love me. Show me.
Exactly. That's why it kind of surprised me when it actually came up.
Yeah.
But it did. They're watching.
They are watching.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. That's how we learn. Human beings learn by watching.
Yes.
And so you watch, and you put two and two together, and you realize this carries more weight than this.
Right.
It's the proof is in the pudding.
Absolutely. So in that case, I'm glad we did attend.
One thing I learned in life is this. Human beings do what they want to do.
Yeah.
You will find a way.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you tell me there was no way I could get to church, I had to do this, I will say it's because you wanted to do that.
That's true.
And I'm not condemning anyone when I say that. It's not a statement of condemnation, but I believe it is a statement of truth.
Absolutely is.
And I think that's how God sees it. We do what we want to do.
That's true. And I'm sorry, but that's all the time we have for today. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, please contact us at www.shilohmessianic.com. We'll be happy to respond to any comments you might have or any questions you might have. Also, our videos are available on that website or through that website. So please join us. And we will see you again next time. Shalom.
My friends, thank you for joining us today as we look to the Father's Word to learn His ways and to draw closer to Him. I pray that there be shalom in your life, nothing broken and nothing missing as you pursue a closer walk with the Father. Let Him touch your lives and guide you as you go through this week. Now please join us next time as we explore more of Haven't You Heard? Shalom.